This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm really excited about tonight's topic. It's something that we all need to be aware of. And as I've been going through the Truth Project from Focus on the Family and the small group that we're doing here at the station, there's a lot of issues tied up with tonight's topic that I've been learning about from a biblical perspective and the Truth Project. So I'm really excited for tonight's conversation. Before we get started, just one quick reminder. We're only a couple weekends away from Freedom Fest 2008. And the reason I bring that up is because Freedom Fest is one of the ways that you guys help support this station. If you appreciate the music ministry of M88, we're nonprofit, non-commercial, and the only reason we exist is because you guys help us exist. So if you like shows like Raw Talk, if you like the music that we play, help support us by showing up at Freedom Fest 2008. Tickets available, Bibles Plus, Parchments, Chronicles, 3DFX. Tickets are $19 per person per day, $17 for groups of 10 or more. We have a great lineup of bands this year for Freedom Fest 2008. So if you'd like to help support this ministry, please, please do so. And you can get your tickets and all the info that you might need is available at m88.org. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Generation Hex. And you're probably wondering what that is. Well, we'll explain that here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to introduce our two. That's right. Two, we're going to double your pleasure tonight here on Raw Talk. Our two special guests, one of them, Dylan Burrows, a gentleman we've talked to before when we were talking about what can be found in Lost. And he's a guy who works in radio and TV himself. He's written a lot of books. And I really appreciate you joining us tonight, Dylan. Thank you so much for taking some time to be here tonight. And also, we have a... We have Marla joining us. Marla is also an author and editor and a poet. That's nice. That's something I could never do. And I really appreciate Marla taking her time to spend some time with us this evening. So, Marla, thank you so much for showing up this evening.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Wicca with Dylan and Marla. And this is a topic that I know we normally do right around Halloween, but I really wanted to get you guys on as quick as I could because I have a feeling that as more people hear about your book, Generation Hex, you guys are going to become very popular guests on a variety of shows, especially right around October. So I figured I'd just jump in first and get first dibs and get you guys, to sign stuff for me before you become superstars. So.
That's right. You're way ahead of the curve.
I do what I can. Well, and I just want to let people know, if you have questions about Wicca, you know a friend who's involved with Wicca, maybe you've thought about dabbling in it yourself, maybe you're in college and you've encountered it. If you have questions, hey, I got some experts here to answer your questions. So please don't hesitate to call us, 505-338-5790. And, don't be embarrassed about asking about this. It's important to ask questions about this. We as Christians should be willing to examine the beliefs of other religions and compare them to Christianity so we can see what makes Christianity so unique. Asking questions is a good thing. So please do so, because you know me. I'll hog the entire time. I got plenty of questions and stuff I'd like to discuss about this with these two wonderful people. So if you want to get in, be sure to do so. 505-338-5790. All right. With all that out of the way, I'll let you guys do some talking. And before we get started, guys, why don't we define for people this term Wicca? What exactly is Wicca? What does the word mean? Where does it come from? And Marla, why don't we let you go first, because that seems like the proper thing to do, ladies first. Marla, what is Wicca?
Wicca is a pagan earth-based religion of witchcraft. It's also known as the craft or the craft of the wise. And it's also a polytheistic religion, meaning that the people who follow Wicca worship a variety of gods.
And Dylan, tell me a little bit where this term Wicca came from and where did this religion start? I thought it was very interesting how you guys talked about it in your book. Is it old? Is it new? Well, What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both depending on who you talk to, but the reality is Wicca as a mainstream movement has really been a modern phenomenon, and it became popular in England in the 50s and 60s and spread over to the United States from that. And it's really been in the past 10 to 15 years that it's seen its largest increase in America. Even though there would be some who are involved in witchcraft who say Wicca is a pre-Christian religion, it's been around since ancient time, and in fact, witchcraft has been around in various forms, but the specific kind we're talking about, Wicca, is a very modern phenomenon, and those who look into it will find that most of the books and most of the literature on it are primarily just in the past 10 to 15 years.
Now, the reason that we're talking about this is because Wicca is becoming a major driving force in our culture today. And we've seen it happening very subtly, you know, with Harry Potter, with Charmed, with The Craft, a movie that came out a few years ago, even with Medium that's on TV right now. You know, we see a lot of the supernatural stuff seeping into our society, and it's not as alarming as it used to be. And Marla, why don't you explain to people a little bit about why this is something that we should keep a closer eye on? Just how quickly is Wicca growing in acceptance in our culture, and why is it gaining so much acceptance?
It's skyrocketing. In fact, it's the fastest growing religion in America right now, and it's set to be the third largest religion in America by 2012 after Christianity and Judaism.
Wow.
And I would say the major influence of it and the major reason why people are so lured to it is the promise of power without real accountability. Many women are drawn to it because it's not a patriarchal system. There's a god and a goddess that form deity, and they are equal in power, and that idea appeals to a lot of Wiccans.
And Dylan, what would you add so far as how this thing is gaining so much acceptance in today's culture and why we as Christians should, A, try and be aware of it, because I'm sure it's flying under the radar for a lot of people, and B, should be concerned about it?
Yeah, it's really growing for a variety of reasons, but one of the major ones is the stigma in the media that has changed. Over the past decade, over the 20-year period that we've been tracking this especially, you've seen a predominance of films about Wicca, books such as Harry Potter and others like it that show witchcraft as a innocent thing, as something that's just as common as any other activity people would do, or considered a world religion, just like any other world religion that could be innocent and harmless. And you also see a distinction in many books and media forms now between good witches and bad witches, so they make a distinction rather than saying witchcraft in general is evil or bad or a sinful practice as we would label it in Christianity. So from that standpoint, children are growing up seeing witchcraft as an innocent thing and sometimes a positive thing, and they're moving from curiosity about it to involvement in it.
Now, we all know that we live in a very spiritual society right now. Spirituality is, at least interest in spirituality, is at an all-time high in today's society and culture. And Marla, what is it about Wicca in particular that is drawing to itself so much of that spiritual interest as opposed to people having their spiritual interest directed towards the church and Christianity?
There are two major elements that are a real draw for people. First of all, it's a cafeteria-style religion. It allows people to pick and choose what they want to believe. There are really just a few tenets that most, if not all, Wiccans would hold. The rest of it is just open season for what you want to believe. The other element is community. Many, many young people, high school students, college-age students, are drawn into it because of that solid community. Many of them have had painful experiences with a church or with a Christian or some other type of religion. So Wicca is very open, and that community is very appealing to them.
Dylan, how big of an issue is this, especially with young people, high schoolers, elementary kids, college students? I mean, just how popular is Wicca? And, you know, let's enlighten some people because they might be surprised.
Yeah, well, up until a couple of years ago, I'd spent the past decade of my life working in youth and college ministry, and the most common religion students would ask me about was not Islam or Hinduism or any of the others you would expect, but it was always witchcraft or Wicca or some form of witchcraft. And so for me, I saw that experientially just a very strong interest in it because their friends in school were involved in it or talking about spells or talking about someone who cast a spell on them for one reason or another. So there is all this curiosity, and growing from that, you see just such a phenomenal, I guess, how would you even say it, a phenomenal wealth of information today via the internet and via films and via your bookstores. If you go to Barnes & Noble today, you go one row over from the Christian section, and you'll see just a row of books on Wicca and witchcraft and spell casting and potion making and all these things that are easily accessible. And even students now can go to witchschool.com and for $30 register to become certified as a witch in one variety or another of Wicca. So the information is there for anyone to grab, and then you see these influences like Marla talked about that draw people in, and the combination is making the number of people involved and the level of commitment by those involved just larger than it's ever been in our culture before.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to ask some questions about this topic of Wicca. You know, we've talked about this before on Raw Talk, but people, like, you know, Dylan just said, it's something that a lot of people are just innately curious about. Well, then get your curiosity satisfied. Give us a call if you have a question about Wicca and what it's all about and why maybe you should not mess with it. 505-338-5790. If you got a question that you'd like to ask, I encourage you to please, please do so. And you guys, when it comes to this particular issue, Wicca, and especially interest in the supernatural, a lot of things that I have read have pointed out that the church has done a pretty poor job of answering questions, especially of young people, when it comes to the supernatural, that many high schoolers and college students just aren't prepared or equipped for encounters with the supernatural, especially of the kind that Wicca offers. And why do you think it is that the church, which, gosh, we worship a God who's absolutely amazing and certainly supernatural, why is it this a topic that the church seems to avoid and therefore leaves young people open to be deceived by something like Wicca? What do you think, Marla?
I think that our churches, in some sense, are afraid of the supernatural. I mean, as you said, God is supernatural. He's powerful. He's almighty. He's much greater than Satan, but Satan does have some power. And people who are dabbling in the occult are seeing that there is some power to these evil practices. In the church, we need to be showing them that God has more power, that the Christian life is exciting, it's fulfilling, it's abundant life that God has promised. And I think we're not showing young people that that's the kind of life they can have.
Now, how much do you think it is due to a worry among youth leaders or pastors that if we start talking about this, that people might, oh, that's interesting, and they're worried they might go off and investigate it for themselves? I mean, how much do you think that fear plays into it, Marla?
I think that could be somewhat of an issue. I know that I was personally taught not to have anything to do with witchcraft and just to kind of have a fear of the occult, but Dylan and I discovered that we had a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes about Wiccans that were not true. So I think it's more important to be informed. That way we can build bridges of understanding to Wiccans and help bring them to faith.
Well, what would you add, Dylan, so far as how the church apparently is doing a very poor job of addressing issues when it comes to the supernatural and therefore leaving open curious seekers to go and find answers elsewhere?
Yeah, well, first off, most church leaders are not trained in any way, shape, or form to deal with issues of the supernatural or witchcraft. I know I did not have a class or even a portion of a class that told me anything about how to deal with witchcraft in my ministry situations. But a 2006 Barna survey said that 3 out of 4 teenagers have been involved in at least one type of psychic or witchcraft-related activity. And it just amazes me, and I think some of your listeners would be surprised, that 9% of our teenagers have consulted a spirit guide or a psychic, and 10% have claimed to have communicated with a dead person. Almost 1/3 have visited a fortune teller by their teenage years in America now. So it's such a common practice, and yet in our churches, like you said, no one talks about it. In the same study, they said that fewer than 10% of those surveyed in the study of these teenagers said that they had never been talked to in their churches and their youth groups about any of these issues from a Christian worldview.
And the thing that I find kind of startling when I was reading some of those same studies is that included Christian kids, that Christian kids who had no clue what any of this was about were engaging in these practices as well. Ouija boards, palm reading, tarot card readings. They just thought, you know, this is fun and games. They had no information by which to make a judgment call about how they should or should not be involved with that. And it seems like maybe we're a little too concerned about premarital sex, although that's an important issue, or going out and get drunk, that's an important issue, and yet we're leaving some of these other issues. It's not as important as these other things. We'll focus on those and the witchcraft and all that. That's not as big of a deal. But if it's growing so quickly, obviously this is something that we need to pay more attention to. And I want to explore that with you guys here more in a moment, but I knew this was going to happen sooner or later. And Christina is on the line with us, bringing up one of the inevitable issues when it comes to witchcraft, as we touch on the issue of Harry Potter. Christina, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Christina?
Well, I've read all the Harry Potter books and I've seen all the movies. And I haven't heard it mention a religion at all. Like, Harry Potter doesn't worship a Wiccan god or anything like that.
Right. Dylan, how does Harry Potter play into this whole issue of Wicca and witchcraft?
Yeah, well, just to be upfront, I haven't been like some who have tackled the subject and said, hey, let's avoid Harry Potter altogether. I did read all the books, I've seen the films, I've researched the content, and there are some things we should be concerned about as Christians, but we don't have to fear this content to the extent that we wouldn't investigate it and find out what it's saying about the issues that we care about as Christians. For instance, I went to the Harry Potter 7 midnight release party and basically just took some time to ask people, why are you here? Why do you care so much about Harry Potter that you come to a midnight release party? And for a lot of them, they just liked the story, they were curious about it, but there were others who were involved in it to a level that was very unhealthy, where they were starting to use some of the things said in the book in their lifestyle. And the other thing that's concerning is that these stories that contain a very high level of witchcraft-related material, some of which point toward occult practices, are being targeted toward 8 to 12-year-old kids in many instances. So from a standpoint of a parent trying to raise their kid in a child in a Christ-like home, you would want to be concerned about that. But for those who are teenagers and adults, they need to be discerning when they read it, which is something that's often not done, that's just read as entertainment without thinking through its implications. And you need to say, okay, how is good perceived? How is evil perceived? What are they saying about these issues? And on witchcraft specifically, in the Harry Potter series, they do highlight good and bad witches. And that's distinctively different than what the Bible says about witchcraft being a sinful practice. So from that standpoint, we would say that it's not uplifting our Christian values at that point. But again, it's a novel. We're not going to say we would totally forbid anyone to read it. That's a choice you have to make. On the other hand, we do tell people to be careful about it and be discerning when you do read it.
And Marla, what about the issue of, well, Harry Potter is a front for Wicca recruiting. This is a tool that's being used to pull people in to witchcraft schools. How do we respond to those accusations? Is it a front for Wicca recruiting?
No, it's not. And in fact, J.K. Rowling has been asked about that many times. She is not a Wiccan or a witch, and she says that she didn't write the books in order to lure children into witchcraft. It's just a creative story. However, it does contain so many elements of witchcraft that are fascinating to kids that it is still a concern, and it could lead kids to investigate Wicca and become involved, even if that wasn't her original intent.
Does that help you out at all, Christina, so far as the issue of Harry Potter and Wicca?
Yeah, it does. But then you also say that, you know how he said that it was said good or bad witches?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so does The Wizard of Oz, and I haven't heard any, like, people say that that's a bad movie at all.
Well, you know, that brings up a very interesting tangent, and let's just touch on it before we move on, Dylan, the issue of, like, well, okay, everyone focuses on Harry Potter, but you have the line, the witch, and the wardrobe. You have the Lord of the Rings, which has, you know, both good and bad wizards. Why all the focus on Harry Potter when there's so many other stories written by quote-unquote Christian authors that also use magic?
Yeah, I think the major difference in the Harry Potter series is that they are training the children in the story to be witches, and that's distinctly different from what you see in the Chronicles of Narnia, which does have some Christian themes, or even Lord of the Rings, which involves a variety of different traditions in its storytelling. So I think the main difference from a parent's standpoint looking at that story for their child to read, or their teenager even to read, is they're looking at the hero in this story as a young boy who's being trained to be a witch, and that's demonstrating a lot lifestyle that they would not be supportive of and not want their child to be influenced by. So I see the difference there, but you're right. These other formats, these other novels, these other movies need to be evaluated for their content as well.
Well, Christina, I hope that helps you out. We got another caller waiting, so we're going to move on. But thank you so much for calling in tonight, Christina.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, have a good evening. Next up, we have Brody on the line. Brody, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Brody?
I was just wondering, how would I explain this to my friends?
How would you explain Wicca to your friends?
Yes.
Well, that's a very good question, Marla. How would you explain Wicca to a friend?
Well, as I mentioned before, a simple way to explain it would be that it's a pagan earth-based religion. It is a polytheistic religion, which is different from Christianity. Wiccans believe that there's a god and a goddess that are equal, and they worship both of them. They also worship a pantheon of other gods and goddesses. So that would be a simple way to explain it. It is a witchcraft religion. It does not agree with scripture in several different important elements. They believe in a different God, a different Jesus than we do, if they believe in Jesus at all. So I think it's important just to understand those core elements that are different from a Christian worldview. However, I think we can create open dialogue when we're talking to someone about it and just find out what do they believe rather than condemning their beliefs.
Now, Brody, why do you want to explain what Wicca is to your friends? Do you want them to be aware of what it is so that they might not pursue it? Or why are you concerned about explaining it to your friends?
Well, my friend Brandon, he's not a Christian, and he wants to do Wicca. So I want to try to talk him out of it.
Well, Dylan, if you were confronted with that situation, a friend who's curious about it, how would you go about maybe not necessarily condemning them for their interest, but explain this might not be the best pursuit?
Well, I think first and foremost, if someone's coming from a Christian perspective, if that's the case, then they want to see how it compares and contrasts with Christianity. And that's one of the key things we did in Generation Hex, is we laid out those key differences. For instance, those involved in Wicca do not believe in a personal sin like we do, or in Satan, his existence at all. So they're certainly not Satan worshippers. But on the flip side, they have a very different definition of good and evil. They see the Bible maybe as a spiritual book, but not as a book which contains spiritual truth from which you should follow for every aspect of your life. And then, of course, when you talk about who God is, when you have a God and a goddess, it's very distinctly different from what we see from the very first of the Ten Commandments that talks about worshiping the God, our God, and serving Him only. So all of these concepts portray a very different religious system than Christianity, and you can say it as nicely as you can, but it is different from Christianity. So someone who's going to say they're a Christian who wants to get involved in witchcraft and Wicca, that's a very inconsistent worldview to have, and you end up picking and choosing which parts of each one that you want to follow.
Now, what about if your friend isn't a Christian, Marla, and they're just kind of shopping around for their spiritual identity? What would you say to them to encourage them maybe to look away from Wicca and towards Christianity?
I would encourage them just to look at the person of Jesus Christ according to what the Bible says, and the truth of God's word. It seems that our culture has gotten away from even believing that there is truth that we can know. But the scripture tells us how to live our lives. It tells us who God is. It tells us who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. And God's patient with us. He doesn't want anyone to come to repentance. He laid out so clearly, and so He wants everyone to come to repentance. He laid out so clearly what He wants us to do for our life, and that saves us so much pain when we follow His principles and His laws and His commandments and just recognize that He loves us so much. And so I would just encourage anyone, whether they're a Christian or not, if they're investigating Wicca, just to turn back to Scripture, really read it and find out what it says about God's truth and how we should live our life.
Does that help you out a little bit, Brody?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in with a really good question, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are wondering the same thing. You have a good night, okay, Brody?
Thank you.
All right, take care. Well, we're talking with Dylan Burrows and Marla. How do you say your last name?
Alapuiche.
That's awesome.
And
so we're talking with these two guys, authors of Generation Hex, which I found to be just a real practical layman's guide to Wicca, what it is, what it's about, and what we as Christians can do to open a dialogue with people who are interested in it. And if you got some questions for these guys, well, this is a golden opportunity to get those questions answered about Wicca. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, like Brody did, that was a great question. 505-338-5790. If you got a question that you'd like to ask about Wicca, what it is, how can we witness to people who are a part of Wicca? What do I do if a friend is getting involved with it? What are the dangers? You got a question? please ask it. 505-338-5790. One of the things I thought you touched on that was really interesting, Dylan, was when you were talking about Halloween and something that you decided to do when it came to relating to Wiccans around Halloween time. Explain to people what it was that you came up with and what some of the results were.
Yeah, the thing that we did, and this is based back in a college experience I had, but all we did was make it modernized for the internet, basically. We sent this email to all of our friends and family that started off the startling statement, "We love witches." And we said, okay, this Halloween season, instead of just talking about how horrible some of the aspects of Halloween are, why don't we set aside some time to pray for those who are often influenced in a negative way during the Halloween time. And so we sent that to many people, and we just encouraged people to pray and share stories with us of what God did. And it was just really overwhelming to me, the response I received back from people going, you know, that's right. We talk about Halloween and how bad it is all the time, but when do we stop and say, let's pray for those who are really involved in the side of Halloween that we would not approve of as Christians? And so many people did make a specific emphasis to pray for people on that day, on Halloween night of this past year. And when it was all said and done, I just had story after story of people who told me, of friends they came in contact with, they had a chance to share their faith with, people they talked about Halloween issues with, that they were able to talk about on a with them on a spiritual level that they haven't had before. And it was just a very unique and specific way to apply our Christian beliefs to a holiday that's often seen as very disturbing to Christians or seen in a very negative way.
Now, Marla, I know there's a lot of Christians, especially with this topic, who sometimes it's an issue that's kind of like homosexuality. We're ready to cast stones first before we're willing to embrace someone who's actually practicing this. How would you relay to Christians why it's so important for us to not just condemn, cast out, throw stones, and say, the Bible says this is forbidden, you're going to hell, and that's all they ever hear from Christianity, because obviously that's not going to draw anyone to Christ or help their situation. How can we relate why it's so important for Christians to actually think about being a Wiccan's friend, ministering to them, sharing with them, getting to know them, getting to understand why they believe in this? Why is that so important for us to do?
I've found that the days of arguing a person into Christian faith are over. I feel that we really need to love people into the Christian faith. We need to look at what the scripture says about Christ and how he loved people and how he drew people irresistibly to himself. We're supposed to be modeling him and following his example. Our example of the Christian life should be drawing people in, not turning them away. So I've really found that it was important for me to listen first and talk later. Many Wiccans had just amazing experiences to share. Unfortunately, many of them also had hurtful experiences with either the Christian church or Christian individuals, sometimes in their school. Many of these people, even the very young ones, have faced a lot of persecution for their beliefs and have been very hurt. So if instead of being another person adding to the hurt, you're someone who helps and listens and offers hope and really cares about that person, that makes such a huge difference in that person possibly coming to faith in Christ.
Well, that's certainly what we want to do, and I actually have a question I want to ask to put you both on the spot here in a moment, but I'll let you sweat that out first as we ask Jake. Welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say, Jake?
Hi, is it okay for, like, Christians to, like, just, like, play games that have, like, magic in them, even though they're not, like, going into anything like that?
Well, that is an excellent question, Jake, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Dylan, what would you say?
Well, I'll be honest, I only caught part of the question. Can you repeat it so I make sure I know what I'm answering here?
Yeah, Jake was asking, what would you say about, is it okay for a Christian to, you know, play some games that have magic in it, to kind of mess around with the toy side, the fun side, the game side of magic and witchcraft? Would that be okay for a Christian to do?
Well, here's what I've always told my teenagers in my experiences and talking on this issue. I told them our goal as Christians is to every day and every interaction do everything we can to draw us closer to Christ and to be more Christ-like. So when you're sitting down playing a specific computer game or video game or watching a film, you have to think through that issue and say, okay, is this helping me grow closer to Christ or is this drawing me away from Christ? And oftentimes we just consume our entertainment without thinking about it either way. But I tell you, when you think it through from that perspective, it will change the games you play, or at least how much you play some of those games. And I've played a lot of video games over the years, but there are some games that I will very much limit my time playing because I know it will make me start thinking ways that I shouldn't in terms of violence or spiritual overtones, or not playing it all together because it's setting a bad example, perhaps, or because it's leading me to thinking in ways that I shouldn't be. So that doesn't give you a very hard line, but it does give you a perspective to think through when you're looking at the types of games that you're talking about.
Does that help you out a little bit, Jake?
Yeah, I think it pretty much answers my question. But what I was meaning is, like apart from video games, but just, like, going outside and, like, playing with your friends with stuff like that.
Yeah, Marla, what would you say, and maybe touch on the idea of tarot cards and Ouija boards and games like that seem very innocuous. Should we be wary of that, Marla?
Well, I would echo what Dylan said. I think we definitely should be wary. You know, Scripture talks about us not being involved in any kind of witchcraft practices, and it lists very many specific practices that Christians were to have no part of. And I just look at it as each of those, even if they seem harmless, they're a doorway that could lead to your involvement in the occult. So every time you do that, you need to ask yourself, do I really want to open this door? Because you don't know how far down the path that's going to lead you. And if you have Christ in the center of your life, you don't want to open that door to let something else in. Christ should be the head of your household, of your temple, of your body. And, you know, Christ should reign in you, and you don't want to let anything else taint that.
And Jake, I've talked to, actually right on this program, Raw Talk, to a former high priestess of Wicca, and she pointed out that the Ouija board is perhaps the most dangerous thing that anyone can meddle with. And even though it's sold in Toys R Us and places like that, it is one of the most powerful and dangerous occultic tools out there. And she would recommend no one ever even mess with it because it's so dangerous. And I talked to another person who is involved with Wicca, and just the, you know, the idea of running around and pretending to play with magic, like Marla was saying, that is meddling with forces that perhaps we don't really understand and need to take very seriously. There is a supernatural reality out there, and if we treat it as kids' play, we might be in for some trouble. So does that help you out, Jake?
Yes, thanks. God bless.
All right, have a good night, Jake. Next up, we have Teresa on the line. Teresa, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Teresa?
Yeah, I have a question for Marla.
Okay.
She said that this Wicca, the pagan religion or whatever it is, she said that there's a god and a goddess that are equal. Now, as a Christian, we have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God as the equal. That is our Trinity. So is that the core base? Is that what they're worshiping, is a god and a goddess? Is that where they put their effort into serving?
Yes. They worship a god and a goddess.
Uh-huh.
These are their highest deities.
Uh-huh.
But there are also pantheons of lower gods and goddesses. For instance, the Roman gods and goddesses, the Greek gods and goddesses, the Celtic. There are many gods and goddesses. And one girl explained it to me this way. She's involved in Wicca. She said, it's somewhat similar to Catholicism in that we pray to the lower gods and goddesses, and then they carry our prayers to the god and the goddess. So that was how she explained it. That's a good way to think about it.
Does that help you out, Teresa?
Yeah, I have a couple of more questions.
Yeah, go for it.
This Generation Hex book, where can we find this book?
Dylan or Marley, do you want to answer that?
Well, you should be able to find it in any Christian bookstore. It just started shipping the beginning of this month, so it'll be showing up anywhere in the Christian bookstore market. If not, I know all the Books A Million stores across the country are carrying it now, or you can order it at Amazon or ChristianBook.com, any of those places. So please just ask for it any place where you typically pick up your books or online, and you should be able to find it.
Okay. And my other question is, as a Christian, if I did run into someone like this, what kind of approach do you think would be the best approach to be able to talk to someone like this and let them know that, you know, in their religion, they have that promise of power with no accountability, and it sounds like they can pick and choose what to believe, like Marla said, but in the word of Christ, we can't pick and choose. We can't alter Christ to our own advantage, and that's what these people are used to. So how would I be able to take a good soft approach in explaining something like that?
What I would tell you to say is just, well, first of all, listen first, as I said before, but when you have an opportunity to speak, I would just think about what hurts, what spiritual search might have caused this person to turn to Wicca in the first place. And I think if you can gently involve them in that conversation and find out more about their spiritual past, that can build a bridge for you to share your faith with that person. I also think people have many misconceptions about Christianity. If someone was not raised in the church, they might believe that the Bible says something about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit that it really doesn't say. It's not meant to be a prison or a controlling religion. It's freeing. We know that we have that freedom through Christ, and so I think it's important to emphasize that we do have abundant life. We have a supernatural life through Christ, and it's not as limiting as many people think it is if we're living the way Christ wants us to.
Does that help you out, Teresa?
Yeah, that'll be it. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it, and have a great night. And, guys, I had a question. You know, we're talking a little bit earlier about how to witness to Christians, to Wiccans as Christians, like Teresa was bringing up. And brought to mind something that often comes up again, you know, with other choices of lifestyle, like homosexuality. The question of, well, if they are practicing that, can they really be saved? Do they have to stop the behavior first in order to get saved? Or can they get saved and then, after that has happened, give up Wicca either immediately or slowly or however long it takes? But, you know, does being a Wiccan automatically disqualify someone from being a Christian until they give it up? What do you think, Dylan?
Well, I would say your priority is to help them know Christ, regardless of whatever else is going on in their lives. And that's true whether it's Wicca or a sexual lifestyle or anything else. The priority is to help them know Christ. And once they come to know Christ, the lights go on spiritually for them, and they start thinking differently and saying, okay, if I need to be following Christ, what life changes do I need to make? And then you can start going one by one through some of what those are. But if you come in with a big list from the beginning and say, these are the things you have to do to follow Christ, you're in trouble from the start. And even though following Christ is hard, and we need to acknowledge that, we need to come into the scenario just like Jesus did, where he said, I'm going to be a friend to sinners, I'm going to show love no matter what it takes. And then when people see that love and they want to experience it, then they'll be willing to make those changes that are necessary to follow Christ. So you start with Christ, and you continue with Christ every step of the way, and as you follow Christ, you'll see that the practices that you're living need to change, and you'll start making those changes as God shows you point by point which ones to make.
Is there anything that you'd want to add to that, Marla?
I would just say, you know, keep your focus on Christ, as Dylan mentioned. It's so, so important. And we have the truth. We have the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we turn people toward that and make them realize that it's freeing and not limiting, that means so much.
Well, 505-338-5790. If you got a question about Wicca, the belief, and maybe what it means, what it's about, why we should be wary of it. Got some people right here. Be more than happy to answer your questions. 505-338-5790, talking to Dylan and Marla, authors of the book Generation Hex, as we talk about how Wicca is becoming one of the fastest growing religions in America, and perhaps without even the church even noticing it. I know it was kind of flying under the radar for me until about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I became much more aware of it. We have Samantha on the line. Welcome to Raw Talk, Samantha. And what do you have to say?
Hey.
Hey.
My question was, I have an aunt and a cousin, and they're involved in Wicca, and they say they believe in God, but yet they're doing Wicca. And I tried to explain them that you can't have both those things, and I let them read the verses that I had, and they just don't seem to get it.
Yeah, Dylan, what should we do in a situation like that?
Well, it's very common to see that, because many people who are involved in Wicca have come from Christian backgrounds and are very open spiritually, but they migrate to Wicca for one reason or another. But what I would say to one person who claims to follow God but also follows the practices of Wicca is that Wicca is an inclusive religion, and yes, you can pick and choose which gods and deities you follow in many of your practices, but in Christianity, you're only given one way, and you're told that all other gods are false gods and are not true. So if someone's claiming to follow Christ and they're also saying that they're following the ways of Wicca, logically that's inconsistent. You can follow the Wicca tradition and follow other gods and goddesses, but you cannot follow Jesus and continue to follow other gods because he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So again, you know, with Wicca you can pick and choose, but with Christ, he is the way.
Now, I have to ask, and I don't know if you're concerned about this or not, Samantha, but I'm kind of wondering, Dylan, is there any way that you could explain that to someone without causing irreparable damage to the relationship?
Well, you can say it as nice as you can, but it really comes down to, okay, if God is almighty and perfect and up in heaven and he's saying, okay, I want you to know me, would it be more logical for him to say, okay, just pick any road, they'll all lead to me? Or would he give you one way and make clear instructions for how to get there? That's what the Bible is all about, not to give us 100 different ways to get to God, but to give us a clear way to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. And I use the analogy, if I were to land in a city at the airport and call up a friend and say, okay, give me directions to your house so I can drive there, they wouldn't say, well, just take any road, they all come to my house. He would give me clear instructions to follow so I could meet them at a particular destination. And for those who choose to follow Christ, that's who Jesus is. He is the way, he is the path that we are following to get to the destination of being in heaven with God for eternity. But for Wiccans, they believe in reincarnation. So you have a different perspective going into it, that if things don't work out this time, you come around and give it another shot. So it really is a difficult conversation to have with someone, but if you do it in the context of a relationship built on love and on trust, it'll go a long way, even if they disagree with what you say.
Does that help you out at all, Samantha?
It does extremely. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling in. Well, 505-338-5790, if you have a question like Samantha did about Wicca, maybe how to help explain this issue to people that you know who are interested in it. And one of the things that we touched on early in the program, Marla, was the issue of how many women are drawn to Wicca, which I thought was very interesting. And in college, I had some encounters where I helped a young woman come to Christ, and she was doing fine, except she had some real problems with the way the Bible, you know, set up women and how they were related. And I had to explain, you know, no, I think you're reading this a little bit wrong. This isn't some patriarchal dominating thing by men. And yet that's the conception that the world has. Why are so many women drawn to the Wiccan religion, and how can we show that Christianity is just as open to women as the religion of Wicca is?
Well, thanks so much for your comments. As you mentioned, about two-thirds of Wiccans are women, so there is a huge draw, and a lot of it is the power, the promise of power without that patriarchal system. However, I've found that many women involved with it had a very skewed picture of what the Bible said about women's role in the church, and in particular, some of the teachings of Paul, which that's an issue in the Christian church as well.
Yes.
But many of the teachings are taken out of context in Wicca, where it says, I do not permit a woman to teach or speak in the church and so forth, and a woman submitting to her husband. A lot of those are just not popular teachings. However, when we look at Christ and how he honored women and he spoke to women and he shocked his apostles more than once by his interactions with women and just showing care to them, showing love, caring about their spirit, I think if we can learn to model that and show people an authentic spirituality that honors women rather than demeaning women, then we've gone a long way.
Now, what about this issue of the goddess? You know, a lot of people are drawn to the Wiccan religion because of the goddess. Very empowering to have a deity that's a female as opposed to the stern male deity of Christianity. How do we bridge that gap when a woman might say, you know what, Wicca, at least they identify with me because their god is female like me. Why wouldn't I want to worship a god who's female like me? I mean, how do we handle that particular aspect of it?
Well, first of all, we have to turn back to scripture where the Bible does mention several different goddesses by name. However, in each of those contexts, God specifically warns the Jewish people about worshiping those goddesses. And people like Solomon, who did worship goddesses and offer offerings to them and so forth, they were severely reprimanded by the Lord because he didn't want the people's hearts to be turned away by worshiping other gods and other goddesses. God wanted to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how the idea of power, of being able to relate better with a goddess, has a strong appeal to women, especially young women. Many of them might have had a distant father or not a good relationship with their father, and it's hard for them to relate to our culture's idea of who God is. And so they embrace the idea of a goddess who's more open and seems to be more of a female figure that they can relate to. However, that is not supported at all by scripture.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I appreciate that you pointed out in the book Generation Hex is that there are several places in scripture that point out that God has some very feminine traits. And
yes,
more importantly, that he is not a man, but he is a spirit being. We refer to him in a masculine sense often, although there are some feminine references as well. But we are mistaken if we only think of God as a man.
That's right. He's a spirit. He's neither male nor female. And there were specific verses in the Bible that say that. We also see several instances where God says, like, I'll gather you to myself. I'll cover you with my wings. Or Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem and says, how I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. And all of those reveal what we might consider feminine aspects of the person of God and Jesus, very nurturing, loving, kind, motherly, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So those feminine aspects have over time kind of been left out in our understanding of who the person of God is, and I think we need to rediscover those.
Well, 505-338-5790, as we're rapidly approaching the end of our time. Still got about 10 minutes left if you'd like to call in. And we have Vonda on the line. Vonda, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Vonda?
Thank you. Hi, yo.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell people how much simpler that God has made it. You know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the Wiccan religion is so difficult. I mean, when you want to ask the Mother Goddess for something, you have to go out and buy the herbs or grow the herbs or find the hair or, you know, the animal parts or the blood or, you know, whatever it is, and write things out and wait for the new moon or wait for the full moon or, you know, and wait and wait and wait. And it's just like all this stuff you gotta do. And with our microwave generation, I mean, God, Jesus tore the veil. He gave us direct access to God. And we can just say, help, and he hears us.
Yeah, Dylan.
And we don't have to go through all this rigmarole.
Dylan, you actually touched on that insofar as, prayer as a part of the Wiccan religion and what role it plays, which I thought was really interesting because you mentioned some of the exact same things that Vonda is saying, that an answer isn't always guaranteed, and more often than not, you're supposed to help yourself. And how does that contradict with what we know as truth as Christians?
Well, certainly, as Christians, we are called to pray, but oftentimes we see prayer as asking God for what we want when that's only part of the picture. We're supposed to be involved in worship and thanksgiving and confession and so forth, as we know from scriptures. But those who are involved in Wicca, they see prayer as something comparable to when they cast spells. They say, okay, it's kind of like Christian prayer. We use it to get what we want. We're trying to get a better grade. We want to have a better relationship. We want to lose weight, have a better life, whatever the case may be. And they use their spells as a means to an end. And they see that as comparable to what we do as Christians with prayer. Unfortunately, that's that's only part of the story. As Christians, we are called to pray as part of our relationship with God, but specifically with Wiccans, we are called to pray for God's blessing upon them and help them to see the light of Jesus Christ. And I can't let this go all the way through this interview without mentioning the story from Acts 19, which talks about some people involved in paganism and witchcraft in their day. And when they came to know Christ, it's interesting how they chose to express that. It said that they came out, took all of their books of sorcery, all of their things involved in paganism and magic, and they burned them in a public fire in the community to show that their allegiance had changed from those things to an allegiance of following Jesus. And in our culture, that seems pretty radical. That seems like a pretty bold move to make. But that's what happens when someone that we've talked to in this book came out of witchcraft and the pagan practices of Wicca to following Jesus. They took a radical transformation in which they rid themselves of all association with these practices, the tarot cards, the crystal balls, and so forth, and committed themselves to following Christ and Christ alone as God. And that's the distinction we're trying to make. In our culture, God talk comes easy, but a focus on following Christ is not quite as easy to get across. But that's ultimately what we're trying to help those involved in Wicca do, is to see Jesus as the way, and to do that through love and compassion versus the ways that have often been done in the past that have left a very negative mark toward those involved in Wicca from Christians.
Well, Vonda, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing some of your insights. I know that's going to catch some people's attention and get them thinking about that. So thank you so much for sharing, Vonda.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. And wrapping things up tonight, before we get some concluding remarks, we have Alexis on the line. Alexis, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Alexis?
I would have to say, why, if I was in a situation with Wicca, how would the best way for me to get out of it?
An excellent question, Alexis. I'm so glad you asked that question. And Marla, what advice would you share?
Thanks so much for your question, Alexis.
Yes.
I just would recommend that you find a parent, maybe a trusted friend or pastor. There should be a pastor in your community who you might be able to speak with, possibly a counselor. You may be able to ask someone at your school for a recommendation. And it sounds like you're on the right track. So seeking help is definitely the first step to take. So we're encouraged by that. I would just seek out someone who is a strong Christian, who has some experience with pastoral training or counseling, who can help you and share the truth with you.
And Dylan, what other advice might you add?
Well, I would say if you stay on the line after we get done here, let's get your contact info, and we can at the very least send you some send you a copy of Generation Hex so you can have the information we've shared tonight and a lot more. We want to get that into your hands because you're the kind of person that this book was written for. And second, I mean, you need to experience the truth for yourself, and that starts with looking at the Gospel of John, perhaps, is a good place to start, and look at how Jesus lived his life and the message that he communicated and what he's offering to you as a way of life. And if you start there and you start talking with other people who have that same kind of commitment to Christ, I think you're on the right track.
Well, Alexis, hold on, and I do have a copy of the book that we can give you, so hold on. I'm going to put you on hold, and our buddy Jim is going to get your info, and we'll get you a copy of Generation Hex. And thank you so much for asking that question. I'm so glad you did. All right, Alexis?
Okay.
All right, hold on. Well, guys, we're just about out of time, but one thing I wanted to touch on real quick before we wrap things up is what are the dangers we face if Wicca continues to gain popularity as it is, and how can we as Christians face that danger?
I think we're in danger, really, of losing our young people, of losing this Generation Hex. And that's why Dylan and I care so much about getting this information into the hands of parents, of pastors, of youth leaders, of teachers, those who really interact with and engage these young people, because we just have such a burden for them to be informed, to know Christ, to know the dangers of witchcraft and Wicca, so that they won't be turned away from the truth.
Yeah, we are certainly in a culture now, if people haven't realized it, that Christianity is one of only several options when it comes to spirituality. And our goal is to help people understand that Wicca is the fastest growing form of spirituality in our culture right now in percentage. And if Christianity is going to prevail in our country now and in the days ahead, we must do it differently. We must live it out authentically, and we must be friends to those who are still seeking and who have yet to discover the love that Jesus has to offer.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you joining us tonight and sharing the information that you've discovered as you've investigated this issue of Wicca with your book, Generation Hex. Marla, first, why don't you tell people where they can find out a little bit more about you, and maybe if they have some more questions or want to get in contact with you or learn more about you, where can they do that for you, Marla?
I have a ministry called Leap of Faith Ministries, and the website is www.marriageleap.com. I have more information about Generation Hex, as well as a variety of other articles on there. And you can also contact me through that website if you have any other questions.
And Dylan, what about yourself? Where can people find out more about you if they have more questions or would like to learn more about you and what it is that you do? Where can they learn more about you?
Find me online at ReedDB. Those are my initials for Dylan Burrows, ReedDB.com. That's my website. You can find out all the information about me as well as my links to MySpace, Facebook, and other ways to interact with me online, and phone number information if you'd like to contact me that way as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dylan and Marla, for joining me tonight. And hang on, I want to give you a parting goodbye here in just a moment after I wrap things up. So don't go anywhere. Hang on. And thank you so much, you guys, for sharing your time tonight.
Great to be with you.
All right. Well, to wrap things up tonight, I want to share something from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ." There is no verse that I can think of that better sums up exactly why we need to be concerned about this issue of Wicca, because it is something that is taking people captive, and that is exactly how we should see them, as captives, not as the enemy, not as some dark force that's trying to take over the world and destroy the church. We need to see them as captives, and I hope a little bit of what we discussed tonight has opened your eyes to that and given you a heart of compassion for people who are being taken captive by this deceptive philosophy, this deceptive worldview. We as Christians need to engage that lovingly and compassionately and boldly and without compromise so that we can help set those captives free through Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm so glad that Marla and Dylan were able to join us tonight. And again, if you have more questions, get in touch with them, or you can get in touch with us here at M88 Studio. At m88.org is our email. So thank you so much for joining us tonight for Raw Talk. I hope this has helped you out a little bit as we talked about some of the things that are going on in our culture. We need to be aware because time is short. And when we see something like Wicca growing so rapidly because people are spiritually searching, we as Christians should be out there engaging, saying, hey, I know what you're searching for. I've found it. And it is everything that you've ever wanted. I promise you that. Let me show you. As opposed to just shaking our heads and clucking our tongues. Oh, it's too bad. They're going off and chasing after Wicca. No, we need to engage them. And I hope that you'll do that. And I hope that tonight's program helped equip you just a little bit to learn how to do that. Thanks so much for joining me here on Raw Talk. And we'll see you again next week right here on Raw Talk on M88.